Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, we were talking about a reluctant prophet named Jeremiah and how frustrated Jeremiah was because, first of all, he didn't want the job. And then when he was given the job and was asked to speak and he spoke, nobody listened. There's another prophet today who was contemporary of Jeremiah, and his name was Ezekiel. Now, unlike Jeremiah, who actually got to argue with God, Ezekiel was not given that privilege. It seemed like Ezekiel would walk along and all of a sudden the Spirit would pick him up and take him someplace against his will. One time he said, "The Spirit lifted me up and bore me away. I went in the bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me." He then goes to the exiles and he sat there among them stunned for 7 days. He not only did not want the job, but he was not given an opportunity to protest. And unfortunately for him, he had the same experience of Jeremiah. Nobody listened. And then when they figured it out that perhaps Ezekiel was speaking truth, it was too late. For their beloved Jerusalem, the place that they felt that God actually resided, was burned to the ground. And what do you do when you have spoken all you could speak? People don't listen, and then the very calamity, the very thing that you predicted comes true. What do you do then? Now, most of us, because we're human, want to say, "I told you so. If you had only listened to me." Now, fortunately, Ezekiel doesn't say that. Fortunately, he listens to God as God says, "Even though the people now see the error of their ways, you still have to speak. You still can't give them a pass." I'm sure he wanted to be comforting. But God said to them, "I want you to do something." Here were people who actually said to Ezekiel, "You know, we know that we've done something wrong, and we are in utter despair. What's the use? There's no use." And God says to those people, "Repent. Turn around. There's still time and there's still hope. Turn from death to life." You know, repentance is a funny word. We American Christians have taken it to mean we get real sorry for our sins and we do some mea culpas. That's not what repentance means. It means turning from something and turning towards something. We turn away from wickedness, we turn away from sin, and we turn towards something. We turn toward God. We turn toward what's right. The people of Israel were people of faith. These were not people that were heathen who went after other gods. These were people who would have swarmed into the temple on the Sabbath, who would have prayed, and yet their prayers weren't answered because what their religious life had become was not part of their everyday lives. And that is a danger in every age, because what we do here on Sunday, if it has nothing to do with the rest of the week, we might as well close the churches down. That's what happened to the people of Israel. What they did on the Sabbath had nothing to do with the rest of the week. And God told his people, not the heathen, not the really bad people, told his people, "You got to turn around. If you want to straighten out, you have to turn around." And he said, turning around means life. So what does it mean for us to turn around? It means that we turn away from selfishness and we turn towards grace. It means that we turn away from holding grudges and we turn toward forgiveness. It means that we turn away from all the things that the world tells us to do to be hard-nosed and hard-hearted, and we turn towards the grace and peace of Christ. Jesus made it clear. He said, you know, you don't even have to memorize the Ten Commandments. You only need to know one thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. Because if you do that, then you can't kill. You can't steal from them. You can't commit adultery. You can't lie about people. You can't do any of that stuff. Because you've put on Jesus. That's what repentance is all about. In my first church, being that I was young, very young, and usually your first church, you're given challenging situations. My first church was in the Bronx, New York, and I had some really tough people in the Bronx. Fortunately, I had a mother who prayed, and she prayed a few people out of that church. And she said, I can see that they're not going to change, and I want them to go, and she actually got on her knees and prayed people out. Now, there was a lady who she decided, she came to me and she said, I'm praying her out. And I could understand why she'd say that. This was one of my board members that if I said yes, she would say no. If I said, let's do something, whatever it was, she was against it. And she was an avid smoker. And she used to light up in the church offices. And I put signs all around. Maybe she'd get the hint, no smoking. And she said, Reverend, I had a heart attack and a stroke. That didn't stop me. No blankety blank sign is going to stop me. Sometimes when she was not happy with me, she would get me out in the hallway and just ream me up one side and down the other. And so Mom said, I'm going to pray her out. And I said, no, don't do that. Because although she was recalcitrant, I thought there's hope there. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe God's Spirit told me something. And so we worked together. And I have to tell you, that woman repented. Now, she did not hear a wonderful sermon and come up and say, Pastor, I'm so sorry. No, I wish. No, that did not happen. That usually doesn't happen that way. It wasn't an emotional time, but gradually over time, God spoke to her, and she became one of the pillars of that church. When I left, she was the chair of the elders. She was the one who ran the church while there was no pastor and guided the board into a new relationship with another pastor, and it was a wonderful pastorate. When any time someone had a dispute in that church, they would go to that sister. You see, that's what repentance is. It's turning away. And she became a beloved figure in that church. I wish I could say it was my sparkling ministry, but I doubt it. But it was the Spirit of God and someone willing to listen to God's voice. Are you willing to listen to God's voice today? In each and every age, we are called to choose life. We are called to choose the passion and the love of Christ. We're called to choose a way that is gracious. What will we choose today? Ezekiel told his people, your beloved city is destroyed. But there is still hope. God does not take pleasure in destroying people. That is not what God is about. God is about life. And so this week, as we leave these hallowed grounds and go to work, go to family members, go to people who might not be the nicest, how will we live out our faith in those places? How will we repent? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that in the darkest times, in the times when we feel complete despair, your grace continually calls us to choose life. And we ask that you would help us to choose life today, to choose the better path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.